He's the Lamb forevermore. He's worthy of all praise and glory. We give you praise this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. High five somebody and just tell them tonight is your night for a miracle. Come on, high five someone. Tell them tonight is your night for a breakthrough in your life. Hallelujah. Praise your mighty God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you honor. Amen. Hallelujah. It's such a joy again to be in this house. I do not take it lightly. I respect the anointing on the set man of the house. Amen. I believe he has carried the mantle of this anointing for years, faithfully, dedicated, committed to the call of God. And I tell you, when I see someone who, you know, have that dedication and commitment to God, it means a lot. And sometimes we can take someone for because we're so familiar with them that we miss the deposits that God has made into their lives. And if you don't want him, I'll take him. Take him back to Jamaica. Amen. 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 I can tell you the oil is upon this man. And I just don't say it because I'm in this house standing with you. But I recognize that my wife and I, we always talk about his commitment and the oil of God upon his life. And that's why every time I come, I make sure I'm here. I'm telling you, I'm more blessed than what I'm doing up here. Just being here in this atmosphere of anointing, what God has done. And so I really appreciate the honor of being here to share God's word. It doesn't matter where I go, whether it's small groups or large group, it doesn't matter. I do not decide what I preach based on what I see before me in terms of a crowd. I've spoken to, and I still speak to thousands of people, but I go to five, and I go to two, and I don't reduce my preaching or speaking because of the crowd. A friend of mine some time ago gave me an example. He said, you know, this is a great guy, teaches the word, powerful guy, and they had a meeting at a place, and so when they got there, they were expecting about 1,000 people to be there. It ended up, it's about 50 people. And you know, you kind of get discouraged, and you know, want to change the message, and you know, kind of, it's only 50 people, it's not the 1,000. And the Lord says, never you do that. Never you do that. Yeah, are you listening to me? And so he taught the evening, and when he was through, actually, there was a man sitting there, and the message was just for that man. I mean, so powerful. The man came up to him after the meeting, and he says, man, the word you shared tonight has changed my life forever. Gave me a new perspective on what I need to do, where I need to go, what should happen in my business. He says, I'm a car dealer. And this is what I want to do for you. Every year, come to my car dealer. I'll give you a brand new vehicle to drive. Drive it for a year and bring it back. I'll give you another brand new. As long as I have this car dealer, you have a brand new vehicle every year. Choose any one you want. Just imagine if he never taught that night. Amen, amen. So every occasion is an occasion for God to speak to us and to minister to our lives. And I'm so glad. I tell you, I'm so glad to be here. Amen. I bring greetings again from my wife. She just about probably finished sharing. Amen. And the church at Montego Bay Fresh Bread Ministry. God has been good to us and have done great things in our midst. And I want to really share with you tonight what I believe God wants us to hear. So give me a few minutes and let God really minister to our hearts. Open your heart, open your spirit. Every time we come together, it's an opportunity to be changed. Amen. Anything that refuses to be changed will die and become extinct. Paul says, as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we behold him, as we see, whatever image we see of him, we become it. Amen? And I pray tonight that we will behold him as we share the word. Of course, this morning we talk about the sacrifice and that God, that through the death, resurrection of Jesus, and the sacrifice of Jesus, that he has perfected forever those that are being sanctified. That there's nothing missing, nothing that you can enhance in what Jesus Christ did. It is finished, complete. There's no update and there's no download extra. Everything that is necessary is in that finished work of Jesus. But tonight we want to talk, how do we enforce, how do we fight the good fight? You know, Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Can I talk to you tonight? Amen. Fighting the good fight of faith. How do we enforce that which Jesus Christ accomplished? Because there are a couple of things we need to understand that how many of you know that God is perfect? There's nothing that you can add to him. Amen. He's the all encompassing one. He's it. And so there's nothing. But yet, we continue to change in our soulish realm. We continue to change in our soulish realm. We continue to learn and we continue to understand who we are in him. And the way you understand yourself will be the way you'll be able to stand. An understanding of yourself. And that's why one of the commandments tells us, he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. That means the degree that you love your neighbor tells me the degree you love yourself. Yeah, the degree that you love your neighbor tells me the degree you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. Am I talking to anyone? Amen. So we got an understanding of the position that God has given us. And I want to begin tonight by going back to Jeremiah, to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse, and I read verse 5. And it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I'm telling you, that is powerful. And there are a couple of things that we need to understand in the scripture, that we need to understand what God was after. Because sometimes our experiences sometimes want to define us. Our experiences want to define us, to tell us who we are. Other people want to define us. Everybody's trying to tell you who you are. Are you understanding me? And many times we don't go back to the original. We don't go back to the manufacturer. Amen. Because the purpose of a thing is not in the thing itself. The purpose is in the mind of the maker. That is why when a new product comes, they send a manual. Because they know I am stupid. I don't know nothing about the thing. I may be excited about what it can do, but I do not know the purpose. So the manufacturer sends the written document to tell you what it is and how to operate it. Are you listening to me? And so God is the one who created us. So he has given us the document by which to operate our lives. And that's why the Word of God and the Bible is so essential. It is not just a storybook. It's not something that we take up once in a blue moon or we read when it's 11:59 and we are almost asleep and we find the shortest psalm, Psalm 117. David says, oh, I love your word than my necessary food. He says, in your law do I meditate day and night. Because it's in his word that I find myself and know who I am. So I found out in the scripture that God pre-planned and ordained my life even before I was born. So I am not a coincidence, neither am I an accident. Touch your neighbor and tell them you're not an accident. Neither are you illegitimate. You may have illegitimate parents, but you're not illegitimate. Are you listening to me? pre-planned, I mean, being pre-planned give you an advantage. Are you listening to me? That means you did not come here in essence trying to find an assignment. You came because of one. There's a difference. You came because of one. You're not here just to try to find an assignment. You were released on planet Earth because of an assignment. So God says, I want this done. Therefore, I'm releasing Philemon. Are we with it today? So God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is amazing. It's amazing. He says, before I formed you in the womb. He's talking about your pre-existence. That means before you knew yourself, before your mama and papa came together, and you know all those things. He says, I knew you. Oh God Almighty. I am not an afterthought. I am not something that God all of a sudden said, there he is in Montego Bay. Pre-planned and ordained. Before I was even made. In Psalm 139 and verse 16, he says, all my days were fashioned for me. Every day was fashioned, even before I came, was fashioned for me. Form with me in mind every day. Now I understand what David, listen to me tonight, this evening. Now I understand what David meant. When he said in Psalm 90 and verse 12, he says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because that same word is the same word that is used that God fashioned and formed me in my mother's womb. The same word made there is the same word for form. And form speaks of a specific intention and a specific thing in mind that God had. And so he says, when David says, this is a day that the Lord has formed. That means every day of my life is formed and fashioned to fit me. No, you didn't hear that. Every day of my life is fashioned to fit me. So there is no bad Monday. No. Can I talk to you? Some people are afraid to wake Monday morning. But I am not afraid, for the day was fashioned for me. That's why David says, this is the day that the Lord has formed. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know why? Because it's formed for me. And everything that is necessary to carry out my purpose and my destiny is already embedded in that day. Hallelujah. When we understand that, the devil has no chance. People criticism will not drive you crazy. But you understand that this day was formed with me in mind. That's why David says again, teach me to number my days. Teach me to number them. There's a difference. He did not say teach me to count my days. No, you know. I said it did not say teach me to count my days. For counting is just 1, 2, 3, 4. It's nothing specific. Are you listening? He said, teach me to number my days. Just like you are numbering somebody. They say, you are one, you are two, you are three. Who is one? Him. Who is two? You. Are you listening? Everything, there's a specific thing to that day. He said, teach me to number. For within every day is God's purpose and will. And, you're not hearing me. It is not boring. It's not just sitting and counting the days. Every day is packed with purpose, destiny. Are you listening? Every day of my life. There's no wasted time unless I waste it. Oh, you're not listening to me. So he said, teach me to number my days. Why? Because beforehand, all of them was already decided and fashioned for me in mind. I'm telling you, understanding that will make you have a different mindset than what the world. That's where you can get up every morning and you can look forward that something good is about to happen in my life. When the others are singing the blues, you're raising the praise. No, you're not hearing me. Hallelujah. That's why someone who understands the call of God on their life. Oh, don't go into pity parties. That's why Paul can say, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. Nothing move me. Nothing move me. Absolutely nothing. You come hide their principalities, powers, things present, things past. You. It does not matter. Oh, my days are already formed by God. And, oh, God Almighty. Oh, and I know that every trouble in my life has an expiry date. Are you listening to me? I said every trouble in your life. There's nothing permanent on this earth. No trouble permanent on this earth. Are you listening to me? And that's why you need to know what has expired. Because some people are keeping expired goods. Oh, mighty God. When God said, move on, man. I've given you the victory. You're still keeping that expired thing on the shelf. So touch your neighbor and say, take off the expired goods. It's time to move on. So just like a potter that has control over pottery, so the Lord declares, I have control over your life. So therefore, there has got to be an understanding of God's work in me and towards me. So the word ordain and fashion is the word used when describes a potter and his pottery, where God takes our lives and he forms it. Watch this. Because he has a vessel in mind. Can I talk to you today? He has a vessel in mind. And it doesn't matter where you are in the age scale. Are you listening to me? Because some people think that God is over with them because they are 80. Are you listening to me? Moses started at 84. No, you didn't hear me. Are you listening to me? Once God has you under potter's feet, there's something in mind. And let me tell you something. He will not take you off the potter's wheel until what he has designed, what he has in mind, comes out. Oh, you're not hearing me. Comes out on the potter's wheel with his hand. He is precise. He's accurate in his dealings. And sometimes, you see, we like the end product, but we don't like the process. We like the end product. We go to the supermarket, and man, the can looks so lovely with all the nice artwork and so on. But you don't know what it went through to get there. Are you listening? Because there are processes that you got to go through. You know why? Because there are some things that are in you and I that are blocking the destiny that God has for you. There are things that you and I that are foreign matters. That does not belong there. And that's why he puts us on the potter's wheel and calls his hands to see and feel those things inside so he can get it out that when you come off, you're beautiful beyond description. That's what he's after. So God says, what am I doing? I am forming you for my glory. Everybody say, I'm forming you for my glory. Tell your neighbor, God is forming you for his glory. But what does that mean? That he's forming you for his glory. Because sometimes I think we misunderstand what this word glory is. Because we think glory is when we shout glory. No, that's not glory. Are you listening? The word glory means weight. Yeah, it means weight, influence. It means abundance. Are you listening to me? Weight and influence. Weight. So when you talk, somebody said he has weight. You know what I mean? He has influence. He has power. Are you listening? I'm sure today, if I tell every one of you sitting here, I mean, I just feel inspired right now. I feel inspired right now. And I'm going to give each of you £1,000,000. I'm going to eat here. You notice many of you didn't shout. You didn't get. They said, okay, that guy from Jamaica, you know, I'm not too sure about £1,000,000 each. I'm not sure about that. You hear me? From all the stories I've heard and the things I've seen, no. But if I told you, if Bill Gates should come in here tonight and said, I'm going to give each of you £1,000,000, you would be rejoicing. You would be doing all that. You know why? Because of his glory. No, you didn't hear that. Because of his weight. There's something you know about Bill Gates. Are you listening? So when he says, I'm going to give you, you know he has the potential, he has the power, he got the resources, he got the... Are you listening to me? You know. So he carries a level of glory. And so God says, I formed you for my glory. That means I want to display you in power and influence. Nobody not hearing me. He says, I want you to in John, when you read in John, Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. He says, Father, glorify them with the same glory. No. He says, the glory you have given to me, I have given to them. Are you listening to me? That means they carry the same weight. They carry the same authority. They can speak like I speak and things are done because they carry the same glory. So God is fashioning me for his glory. And he does not make enamel plates. No, you don't know. You Jamaicans don't know enamel plates. Enamel plate? You don't know enamel plate? That is the tin aluminum plate. You know, where you feed your dog out of and you eat out of it. And, you know, everyday kind of, activity you use. But then there's a chalk plate. The chalk plate is set in a special place. In the what we call the cabinet. Are you listening to me? And usually you put the cabinet in a place that as soon as they step in the house, they can see it. The chinaware. Are you listening to me? Because you see, that is of a different glory. That only comes out on special occasions. You don't feed your dog with it. You don't. That's why Paul says, in a great house, there are vessels of gold, of honor, and this. Oh, you're not hearing me. But every man want to be a vessel of honor must purge themselves and allow God to form them that you'll become a vessel of honor fit for the master's use and prepare unto what? All good work, not any dippy work. But all good works. And that's what God is after, to form us so that when we stand out, the world may see that you carry weight. You carry weight. You're not going around like the ostrich with his head in the sand. But you understand that you got to listen to Jesus. I started to listen to Jesus and not to people. When Jesus was around, he told the people, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He's not going on and saying he's a worm. Oh, can I talk to somebody? Because he knows he carries a certain level of glory. It's amazing how sometimes in the church you find more negativity than the world. Everything we can't do this, we can't achieve that, we can't. Are you listening to me? Because we don't understand the glory that we carry, and guess what? He gave it to us. That's why you've got to be careful. You know, people said, Well, you know, can't share the glory of God. Can't share it. You know, because you know what I'm saying? Jesus said, I give you my glory. The glory that the Father gives to me, I give it. That means he's sharing it. Yeah, it gives you access to the same. That's why he says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Because you see, prophecy, watch this. Prophecy is what God says, and I agree with it. Yeah. God says something, and I agree with it. Decree is what I say, and God agree with it. No, you didn't hear me. No, that's why Elijah could stand up and said, this year, next year, this time. And God said, okay, I agree with you, Elijah. No. Are you listening to me? And that, so we got to understand. He says, I formed you for my glory. That means you must express my influence. You must express that I am a weighty God. I am weighty. I have weight in Bedford. I have weight in London. I have weight over those who want to overcome the church. I have weight. And God says, bear your weight. Bear out your weight. So when other people are fussing and saying nothing ain't happening, oh, you go and they say, man, this you can never recover from this. Bear your weight. He says, lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Oh, when they say, man, you're not going to make it because there's not enough finances. Tell them that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. For I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. For his goodness will stream towards my life. And I shall not want. Touch your neighbor and tell him, carry the weight. Carry the weight. Carry the weight. Carry the weight. Let me tell you something. London, Bedford have not seen you yet. Have not seen the glory of God yet. Let me tell you something. Because the glory is the manifestation of a word. The manifestation of a word. The manifestation of the word. What did the in John when he talks about the first miracle at Cana of Galilee? The Bible said when he turned the water into wine, he says this began to show the glory of God. How you mean? Because the glory of God is in the evidence. No, you didn't listen to me. The glory of God is in the evidence. The glory of God is not a shout nor a rock. Am I talking to her? The glory of God is a manifestation of the word. So people see glory when the paralyzed get up and walk. When the blind see. That's the glory and the weight of God. Oh, you're listening to me. That the world may never stand again and say, where is your God? The world is not impressed by our singing. No. You think they're impressed by it? They sing too and sing better than some of us. Are you listening to me? The world is not even, impressed by your buildings. They build better buildings than us. Are you listening to me? But what they are impressed about is that the glory and the power of God is manifest. Then when they are sick, there is healing. When they are frustrated, there is peace. God spoke to me. He says, church can't be church as usual when we go through the motions. And it's necessary. The gathering of God's people is necessary. It is necessary. The Bible says, do not forsake, oh God, the assembling of yourself, because godliness is profitable. Are you listening? You got to come together, and people who miss the gathering is missing out, because you never know what God will do in a service. You're not hearing me. Some have the practice is only Sunday morning. You don't see them again. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? How many of you eat one time for the week? Oh, we need three meals, and some have six and seven. Ah, But when it comes to God's place, there's no enthusiasm for the house of the living God. Are you listening? When God says, I want to prepare you, get you ready, and send you and release you out there with glory and power, that your weight might be known. So in the school, and you go to the school, and they need an answer, who they will turn to? You, because you got the power of God. I learned that as a little boy. I know some of you may know my story. I was dying of a swollen heart, twice the normal size, was not supposed to pass my 16th birthday. And God, thank God for men who carry the glory. When a man is sick, he don't need sympathy. He need the weight. No, you're not hearing me. And I thank God one person understood that glory. And that night spoke into my life, turned my life that's supposed to be, I've already ended up in the grave, turn it around. And I'm telling you, that's why I try to stick around people who got the glory. I don't want jokers. I want people with the glory. No, you're not hearing me. About 15 years ago, a friend of mine, he's a pastor, we went to give blood at some of you may know Cornwall Regional Hospital up in Montego Bay. And we went up because a friend of ours was going to have surgery. So, as the good thing is we go to give blood to help out the situation. And so he went first. No, I went first. And then, give my blood. And then he went. And as they started to draw the blood started to run. Oh, all of a sudden, his eyes start to roll in his head. He was dying. The nurses, they were terrified, running all over, didn't know what to do. And the man went like that, was gone. And something rose up inside of me. I was sitting on the chair across from it, and something rose. I jumped off that seat. I grab him. I say, in the name of Jesus, you ain't going nowhere. Come back in Jesus' mighty name. And for a moment, he shook like this and came back. But that's not the end of the story. It's his story that was important. His story. He said to me, when that happened, I saw myself drifting away in the darkness. Drifting, way, way in the darkness. And he says, all of a sudden, he heard my voice. In the distance, he heard my voice. And he says, immediately, everything came to a standstill. And like lightning, zoop, right back in his body. That day, I learned something. You better be careful who you are hanging out with, because trouble might come your way. Oh, you're not listening to me. Are you listening to me? Because we're carriers of his glory. Touch your neighbor, tell him, you're a carrier. You're a carrier of his glory. You have weight. You have influence. Are you listening to me? Because the Bible tells us that not only that, but that our position as new creation in Christ Jesus, new creation. The Bible tells us that we were chosen from the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. So when you came up to the altar one day, that was not when you were chosen. All you did is to come now and pick up your package. That's all you were doing. You were chosen a long time. That is why, in the eyes of God, through Jesus Christ, in essence, there's no sinner. Watch this. Don't get me wrong. There's no sinner. In the eyes of God, there's no sinner. For the Bible tells you that God was in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago, reconciling. That means bringing into agreement with himself the world. That's why it's a done deal. That's why we appeal to people, come. Come to the living water. Come. This is your place. This is your rightful place. You are living out a place if you're in sin. Because sin, oh God, a life of sin is abnormal. You were never created for sin. Never. Never created. So to live outside of God is abnormal. abnormal. You're living an abnormal life. Your real life and source is in God. And as I said this morning, your the beginning of your history is not sin. Sin was only an interruption. Oh, you're not hearing me. For when God breathed into man, man became a living soul. He said it was very good. Are you listening to me? So he said he chose you from the foundation of the world. You're not a coincidence. You're not an accident. You're not, you know. You know, we used to sing songs. If I just could make it in by the skin of my teeth. You can't make it on your own anyhow. Because you were chosen. God chose you. It is His grace. And He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and drink of the water. Come without money and without price. Come. It's already prepared. Come. Come as you are. Just as you are. Don't fix up yourself. Come as you are. Let me fix you, because it was already fixed before you were even born. Before you were even sinned, God in Christ Jesus reconciled you to Himself. Anybody understanding me tonight? That's why he's excited. That's why he's amazing. He's amazing. That's why a smile should be on your face every day. So look at your neighbor and give them the largest smile. And even if you can't make it, just use your hand and kind of do something. This is exciting. This is exciting. Pre-planned, pre-ordained by God. Hallelujah. He became sin who knew no sin, that I may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What an amazing, amazing life. Amazing act of God towards me. Hallelujah. That's why I have the advantage over the devil. You know why I have the advantage? Because Jesus did a preemptive strike. And you know why? You know why? He has to try to study me. You know why? You know why he has to try? Because he don't know the plan. He doesn't know the plan. And you and I did not come here. We come here because of an assignment. And so he's trying to figure out what you're about. But he doesn't understand what Jesus said. He was born of God. He says, it's like the wind. It bloweth where it listeth, and you cannot tell from whence it comes. Even so is everyone that is born of God. So to the enemy you are unpredictable. For when you should be sad, you are praising. You can't understand. No, you're not hearing. Are you listening? He can't figure you out. He can't figure you out. If he can figure you out, you're not walking in the spirit. Am I talking to you? That's why he's trying this and trying that. He's hitting and, you're not hearing me, and hoping something stick. Are you listening to me? Because the wind blow it where it listed, and you cannot tell from whence it comes. Even so, everyone who is born of God. Am I talking to anybody here today? That's why the church and the things of God should be a delight for you. Because everything else in this world is transient. Am I talking to anybody? That means it come and pass. But there's one thing that never passed. The purposes of God on your life. When you live in understanding that I'm called, chosen, even before the foundation of the world, there is nothing that can move you. Nothing can separate you from this love. When you know that you're not called by your mama nor your papa, and your generation does not decide your calling before you were born, He pre-planned for you. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Am I talking to hear anybody here tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I said, before I formed you in the mother, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Appoint you as a prophet to the nation. So what I'm doing now is that I didn't come and did a strategic research. No, you didn't hear me. No. He says, before you were born, I ordained you already. So when they come and ordain me, then just agreeing with God. Hey, that is why if you don't call me bishop or apostle, it really don't matter. I like Paul, because Paul didn't wait on you to tell him who he is. So when he opened the book, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus. No, you're not hearing me. You don't have to endure him and tell him that he's an apostle. So when he opened, he says, look here, you may call him arrogant. You can say what you want. But he says, before the foundation of the world, I was already labeled an apostle. So you coming to say it, is you are late. So touch your neighbor and say, you're kind of late. Hallelujah. Before you were born, I ordained you to be a prophet. So heaven decides my role and function in life before I was dispatched. Heaven decides my role and function before I was dispatched. So heaven knew that I would be at 36 to 38 Alexandra Road in Bedford on the 10th of June, 7:25, speaking to you now, because in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Anybody here tonight? So my life is not coincident. For he knows his sheep and he leads them. And they follow him and he gives unto them eternal life. So I wage, therefore, I wage war with my calling. I wage war with my calling. And this is very important. Trust me. This is very important. You can wage war with your calling. If you have discovered your purpose and name, you can wage war. You can wage war against sickness. You can wage war against untimely death. You can wage war against it. You can tell the devil when he corners you, and he's going to puff out your life. You can say, no, I ain't going nowhere. I shall not die, but I shall live. Why? Because God already told me, and I understand what my purpose is. So when they stoned Paul, left him for dead, on the stone heap, or the rubbish heap, the Bible says, when the saints came around him, he got up as if he was never stoned. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because God told him before, you shall see Caesar. You shall preach to Caesar. And up till that time, he never talked to Caesar. So here, devil, you can't take me out until I see Caesar. You're not hearing me. So when you know God's word for your life, you can wage war with it. When you know your destiny for God, you can wage war. When people say you can't make it, you can tell them, "Yeah, I know what God has said to me and ordained my life." You can't stop it. You can't stop it. Oh, Jesus. My. Man, getting tweeter and tweeter up here. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18 tells us. He said, Paul spoke to Timothy. Amen. Can I get 10 more minutes? Can you get 10 more? Amen. He says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the good fight, that you may battle well. Are you listening? He says, recall the prophetic word. And the prophetic word, actually, the prophetic word, a confirmation of that which God has pre-ordered for you long time. Are you listening to me? God pre-ordered. So all someone come and prophesy to you. It's just agreeing with what God had already said about you. And so he says, those things that you have heard, he says, I want you to wage war with them. The prophetic word over your life, concerning your life. That's why you got to sit under the word. That's why you got to hear the word. That's why the word has to take a hold of you, that it begins to define your life, define who you are. And when you find that place in the word, there's nothing that can move you. Nothing can move me. That's why Paul said, none of these things move me. None, absolutely none. Because I know in whom I believe. And I am persuaded. I am convinced about the call of God on my life. So I wage war with my calling. But not only that, I wage war with my gift and giftings. I wage war with my gift and my giftings. So there's a calling and there's a gifting. Because God ordained, God has given to every man a gift. And some more than one. The sad thing about it is that some people hide their gift. Tuck it under the bushel. Make all kinds of excuses and make circumstances. If you stay there long enough, you know what's going to happen? God is going to take it and give it to the next man who will do something with it. Because his word, watch this, his word will never return to him. Listen to me tonight. Will never return. I believe personally, and this is my thing now. This is a quote of Philemon Samuel. It's just like Paul says, I am saying this, not God. I believe personally that Abraham was not the first person that God spoke to, but he was the first person to obey. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And watch this. Because the gifts, God gives us gifts. And he gives us to dispense to the world. But he gives us gifts also to wage war. Watch this. Proverbs 18, verse 16. Hallelujah. I wish we could get it up there. But Proverbs 18, verse 16. Are you getting anything out of this? Anybody getting anything out of this? He says, a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. I like what the old King James Version says. He says, your gift will make room for you. Room for you. That means, watch this. That means, when you turn up, there was no room. When you turn up, there was no room. Before you turn up, there was no room. God says your gift will create room. Oh God, will squeeze out some things and make room for you. That's why you don't have to compete with anybody else. Are you listening to me? What God has endowed in your life is sufficient for you to live God's life successfully and abundantly. Your gift will create room. Walk in your giftings. Walk in your gifting. Doesn't matter if you're 84 or you're 16. You discover the gift of God in your life. It will bring you to places. I'm telling you that some people say you couldn't go. But your gift makes room for you. I'm telling you, I go places. Nobody look like me. Are you listening? I said go places. Nobody look like me. Ma. They don't eat food like me. But God opened. Because he placed my gift in the middle of it. And all of a sudden it started to create room. Ah, sometimes it may start out slowly. But let me tell you something. Your gift cannot be resisted. Because there's nobody can do it like you do it, the way you do it. Ah, God has specially anointed you and appointed you to function in a way that nobody, it creates room for you. Oh, all those who don't like it, it also pushes them out, push them away. You know, some people go places and they're worried whether people will like them. You know, they may not like me because I'm this, and like them because of that. And we start to make all kinds of excuses. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, no matter what God, where God calls me, and I know my gift will make room for it. White, black, Chinese, Indian, wherever I go, this gift will make, because this gift is no respect of person. I carry something that all humanity, oh, you're not listening. Proverbs 19 and verse 6. Proverbs 19. It says, many curry favor with a ruler, And everyone is a friend of the one who gives gifts. That is why Michael Jordan go anywhere. Everybody want to take picture with him. Because everybody want the favor of the man who has discovered their gifts and walking in it. Let me tell you something. You don't have to go looking for people. You don't even have to print business card. You notice Jesus never print no business card and say, here, the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. You know, check me down at Nazareth at 14 Nazareth Street. His gift made room for him. They follow with throngs after him. Are you listening to me? They run for 3 days and then listen to his message for 3 days without eating. Oh, you're not hearing me? Because his gift made room for you. They will run you down when you're functioning in your gift. Oh, mighty God of heaven. Are you listening to me? That's why there should be no competition. Don't try to find out and enhance your gift. Give your gift oxygen. Give your gift oxygen. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. He says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame. I don't know. Some of you are from Jamaica, long time. You remember when we used to have wood fire. I'm sure they had it long time in England. Here too, wood fire. And especially in the rainy season. You know, when wood wet. And you try to light that thing. You can't just light it and leave it. You got to fan it. Fan it. What you're giving? You're giving it oxygen. Oh, no, you're not listening to me. I said you're giving it oxygen. And the more oxygen it gets, it's the bigger it becomes. It's the more effective it comes. Some of us make our gift lying down and not giving oxygen to it. Give oxygen to it. Practice it. Oh, God Almighty. Get the word in it. Walk in the prophetic word that is over your life. Give oxygen to your gift. Touch your neighbor and say, give oxygen to your gift. Come on, tell them, give oxygen. Fan it. Hallelujah. The more you do it, is the more you get better at it. Read about it. Study about it. Pray about it. Fast about it. Are you listening to me? Find, oh God, what else God wants for this? Get it. You know one thing with the church that I think needs to change. How many of you know that Jesus is coming back again? Yeah. Yeah. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. The problem with us, it's a problem. We want him to come back. But we're lazy. And we do not know that he won't come back until certain things happen. First of all, he says, until this gospel is preached to every ethnic group, every group with their own culture, with their own language and way of life. He says, unless that happens, he will not come back. That's why John said, hasten thy coming. You know, because what John is trying to get, he says, get busy, occupy. Oh, take the gospel of this, walk in your gifting, let it impact the world. For the more you make your gift impact the world, is the closer it is for me to come. Why is there such quietness in? That's why Jesus said, occupy till I come. It means take charge. The word occupy is a military word in that context. He said, take charge. Take charge till I come. That means he gives you responsibility. It's like a household. He gives you responsibility. And he says, woe, when I come, I find you sleeping. Are you listening to me? He says, occupy till I come. That means do with everything. Like Paul says, I labor more than you all. I strive. Are you listening to me? And I'm telling you, I wish to see a striving church again. A church who, oh God, that will get up and do what God has wanted them to do and expend their giftings. Because we get too familiar with this thing. Hallelujah. I mean, people who know, find their purpose in life get depressed easily. Walking, but when you find your purpose, there's something about your step. You wake up every morning and you're ready to go because there's a will. He says that's why Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. He says, I occupy myself with the will and purposes of God, for this is the day of my life, the day that God has formed. Am I talking to anybody? Amen. Am I talking to him? And I'm telling you, this will get church more excited. Amen. Get more excited. That you don't have to beg people to work. You don't have to beg people to get involved. Oh, you know, we got to pull teeth and drag people. Come man, come to do this, come to do that. And we're dragging people.
Yes, sir. Talk to
him. I decide long ago. I won't force nobody to worship God. I won't force nobody to. Oh, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. You must understand the will and purpose of God for your life. And you have to do it with passion. You got to do it with zest inside of you. Do you watch us when we do other things? We will line up for things that are transient. Are you listening to me? I guarantee you, if there should be an announcement that down the city hall, the council, they are about to give every member of this borough £50,000, all the houses would be empty. Are you listening to me? The lines would be around the block and going down. Oh, because to them, to you, 50,000 is of great value. Are you listening? Oh, for what you don't value, you don't respect. Nobody's not hearing me. What you don't value. That's why dirt is cheap. Dirt is cheap. Dirt is cheap because we don't value it. And it's too common. Oh, you're not listening to me. We don't value it. But you find out, how many of you find gold just thrown around all over the place? How many of you see gold all over the place? How many? You dig for it. You search for it. And if you know that it's somewhere, my God, you'll give up everything to dig for it. Because of its value. And we have, we have something that transcends everything on this earth. We have something of great value. Oh God, what God has deposited within us. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessel. This treasure in earthen vessel. And we treat it as if it's not a treasure. We come when we want to. We do it when we want to. Are you listening? We lack passion. And oh God Almighty. Hallelujah. Why you think the people were attracted to the early church? Because they saw the passion for what they were doing. That's why when people come sometime in our churches, they get excited. At first they come. And all of a sudden they get, because whatever a new person come and see, they will think it's normal. Am I talking? Yeah. They will accept it as normal. So before long, they come in here like everybody else. But if a church is on fire, weakness in passion, zeal, people carrying out their gift, they will catch the same thing. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Can I talk to you? Oh, God. God says, let's get back the zeal. As Jesus said, the zeal for your house has consumed you. You've got to be consumed. Consumed with the gift of God. What God has created. Consumed with it. Consumed with it. We're going to touch and make an impact on the world. Got to be a zeal. No wonder David says, your word is my daily food. Your purpose is what I seek more than anything else in my life. I am praying. I am praying for the church, especially in the West. I'm praying for the church that we will get back that faith. We have lost the passion. We have lost the zeal. The zeal for God. The zeal for the purposes of God. The zeal for the giftings of God. We've taken it. I go to Asia, Philippines,
I'm telling you. Let me tell you something about what's happening. A tremendous move of God. 15 to 20 years ago, there was only 4% of the population that was referred to as evangelical. That means Baptist, Pentecostal. It was referred to as, it was a stronghold for the Catholic Church. Are you listening? 15 years ago, something has shifted. In 15 years, it has moved from 4% to 20%. But let me allow you to understand what's going on. The population is 110 million. So we're talking about a 16% movement. That means almost 20 million people in the last 16 years. Oh, yeah. I go every year to a conference there. A conference here. 10,000 leaders. Gather 10,000. The passion. Oh God. When you speak, it's like, the drive of the people. They want. And I'm telling you, they come and grab it. We want it. But 4 weeks ago, I went to do the G12. G12. They have a G12. I don't know how many of you are familiar with G12. Yeah, like 12 disciples, 12 people disciple other 12. That 12 decided other 12. And there was over 4,000 G12 leaders. And most of them were under 30 years old. 85% of all gathered was under 30 years old. The passion, the desire. That's why churches are growing. In some churches, in 6 years, they're now at 40,000 people. My friend, Rod Cobos, right now, every time they have baptism, when you go on the beach, the line is 1 mile long and turn back. Almost all the baptism is over 3,000 people. For a long time, I have not seen such passion. Passion for God. The same thing in Hong Kong. Passion for God. Korea. Colombia. Are you listening to me? Ah, the church is alive. People, oh God, they don't make excuses for church. The first time I went to the Philippines, I went to speak at a leaders' conference. And to me, you know, where I'm coming from, you know, you got 2 sessions in the morning, you know, and 1 at night. You know, in between you go home and rest. Mm-hmm. There was 8 sessions for the day. I went there to preach 3 times. I ended up preaching 7. The hunger, the thirst. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I am praying, I'm declaring that the hunger again will come back to His church, to His people, that people will find themselves in God again, driven by the passion of God in their spirit. Young people need passion. Young people need to see a church. They're not coming to a church that look like a cemetery. Must be going somewhere, doing something. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Young people are waiting. Especially in this age. Let me tell you something. They have enough to occupy them. Cable, internet. I'm telling you. They can be occupied all day. And all night. And on top of that, back home, the tele companies, you know what they did? They said free credit, 11 to 6. 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. That means I can go on my phone and text and call. 11 to 6, free. So how young people ain't sleeping? And that's dangerous. Are you listening? That's dangerous. So while the church is sleeping, they're awake. Being indoctrinated, being corrupted. Are you listening to me? The church must rise, hallelujah, and become relevant. The church must rise and discover its gifting. The church must rise and find their place again. If a generation will be lost, are you listening to me? Will be lost.
But in the name of Jesus, I declare that the fire of God is coming back again. That the zeal of God will consume people again. Oh, I declare tonight there's a generation that is about to rise again. Oh God, that the purpose of God will be fulfilled in this generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awake, Zion, awake. Awake and trim your lamb. Awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. Hallelujah. For we must become relevant again. We must become relevant again. I admire and applaud the level of prayer in this church and what you've done over there. But I believe it's time to pick up the spoils. Are you listening? It's time to pick up the spoils. It's time to pick up the spoils. You have done the groundwork. You have laid the foundation. It's time to pick up the mind. God is looking for some men, some women who will acknowledge God has called me. His call is upon my life. Wherever you are, in whatever field you are, God says, I want to turn the tide. There's something I want to do in this. I'm looking for a vessel who are willing and passionate to carry out the will and the work of God. I must work. I must work. It is upon me. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day for the night. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and begin to come and begin to bless him. Come on, begin to bless him. Come on, begin to bless him in this house. Come on, begin to bless him. Come on, raise your hand to heaven. Begin to thank him now. God, I thank you for igniting the fire again. God, I thank you for the rediscovery of giftings and callings in the name of Jesus. For some people have put up their banner, put up their thing, and said it's over. Some because of age, some because of discouragement, some because of circumstances, some because God, of conflict. But I tell you today, the only thing matters in your life is the will and purposes of God. It will transcend any circumstances. It will outlast any conflict in your life. Nothing can move it, for the counsel of God will stand. For many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that will prevail. I'm telling you, there's an anointing in this house. An anointing. And God sent me tonight to fan the flame. Oh, for a smoldering flock he will not out. Once there is smoke, there is hope that there's some fire. Are you listening to me? And I'm here to fan the flame. Fan into flame. Giving you oxygen. I want to turn to the next person beside you. Hallelujah. And begin to declare over their life. Hey, go Shataya. Come on. Find somebody right now. Begin to declare over their lives. Give them oxygen. Begin to declare the purposes of God. Begin to declare the purposes of God over their life. Declare that God's will and purpose will be accomplished in them. Come on, begin to fan their flame. Begin to fan their flame. Come on, begin to fan their flame. Kusataka robo sekataya. Rikato mosikataya. Rinda makotoyos.